This morning, as we come to look at the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, folks, it is the beginning of Holy Week. It is the time that we begin to focus a lot upon Jesus. I do this coming week. I know it's a time that a lot of us take vacations. It's a time that we spend a lot of time on the river this week. We do a lot of things that we want to do. And a lot of times we're off and we're at home and we work around the house and we do so much that pleases us. That's all good. That's all fine. But what I want you to do is you work and you play this week. I want you to stop and to think about Jesus and where he's at this Holy Week. Find your timeline of what's going on for this Holy Week. And as you see this timeline, look and think today, where is Jesus at and what will he be doing? We know that this is 4 or 5 days before Jesus is put to death. This is a Sunday. And we know that it is meant for him to come to Jerusalem. If you look at John, the 17th chapter or something. But anyway, you look in John and you will see that the people were asking about Jesus. They were asking, why is Jesus not here? We've all come, we're gathering for the Passover meal, and we just knew that we would come to see Jesus. Little did they know that he would be entering on a donkey, on a colt that has never been ridden. What significance would that have with a colt that has never been ridden? Think about that for a few minutes as we read the scripture. 11, 1 through 11. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say the Lord needs it and will return it soon. And the two disciples left and found the coat standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that coat? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the coat to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. And many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession of the people. All around him were shouting, praise God. Your Bible may say Hosanna. Praise God. Hosanna, it could be. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in the highest heavens, or Hosanna in the highest heaven. So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see this story and you hear this story, you think, well, there's not a lot to talk about or a lot to tell in this story. But I want you to stop and think. So Jesus knows that he is coming to the last week. He has predicted his death 3 times. He's told the disciples, look, guys, I'm going to die. And on the third day, I will be raised from the dead. They weren't getting it. They didn't understand what was going on. And so we see that Jesus, it's on a Sunday, and we see that it's probably a Sunday afternoon, maybe, I would think. And I can just imagine Jesus knowing that he's going into Jerusalem. Well, today, if it was us and we knew that we were going to Jerusalem and this week at some point we were going to be arrested and killed, we would probably wait till it got dark and go. So maybe wouldn't nobody recognize us. Or we'd put our ball cap on and our sunglasses and pull a scarf up around us and we'd go in that way so that nobody would recognize us. Is that anything that anybody would think about but me? Because that's what I would probably do. But Jesus didn't. Jesus was making a statement. He was bringing in his kingdom. he was making this statement, and he told the guys, go up here and get this donkey that's tied on the corner, on the street corner up here, and bring it to me. You know, folks, when you stop right there and you think about the guys going up the street, finding the donkey tied in front of this house, untying him, and having this conversation with probably the man that owned the donkey about what are you doing getting my donkey? You can't do that. And then we see them telling them what Jesus has told them. You know, the disciples were scared. They were as scared as anything about what was fixing to happen that week. They didn't know what all was going to take place. But they were very timid. They were cowardly. They had cowed down to everybody. And now they're here to get a donkey that don't belong to anyone. You know, there's another thing that could have happened. Had I been the one sent after the donkey and I got to thinking about it, what if I'd have decided, you know, this street has two directions, back to Jerusalem and out of town. I think I'm going out of town. I'm not going to hang out with Jesus any longer. That's the decisions we make so many times throughout the week, folks. We make decisions not to hang out with Jesus any longer. Not today, we'll pick you back up tomorrow when it's more convenient for me, Jesus. We'll pick you back up when we're coming back through town. Might be Tuesday or Wednesday. I've got this neighbor and it drives him crazy because I tell him a day or three. He don't like that at all. He wants it immediately. So I'm always saying in a day or three, I'll do this or I'll do that. In a day or three, I might have come back toward Jesus to see what was happening. So we see that Jesus has sent for this colt. And your first instinct is, why would he send for the colt? Why would he not just ask for any donkey? Why didn't he get a stallion, a white stallion? Why didn't he ask for something that he could ride into town and make an impression on? Because he is the king. He's coming into Jerusalem to make his statement that he is the king. So why couldn't he make a statement with a horse that would come prancing into town, letting everybody know that I am the king who I have declared to be? But instead, he gets the donkey. You have to look back to Numbers, the 19th chapter. When you look back to Numbers 19, the second verse, it says, "And another legal requirement commanded by the Lord to tell the people of Israel to bring you a red heifer, a perfect animal that has no defects and has never been yoked to a plow." So when you think about this, folks, he was telling the people back in Numbers 19, God was, that they needed a perfect heifer, and that had never been yoked to a plow, had never been used for anything. That would be a young heifer. And that was what they were supposed to use for a sacrifice. Jesus used this young donkey. Had never been ridden. Had never been tried to be ridden. He had just been tied and followed around with his mom. And he said, bring me that donkey. Because he wanted to show each one of us that he was fulfilling. I feel he was saying, I'm fulfilling part of the law that God had said for when you offer a sacrifice unto him, that it had to be a perfect young animal that had never been anything done with. And why would he do that? Because he has dominion over everything, folks. He has dominion over the world, the animals, the people. He has dominion over me and you. He has dominion over everything. And I believe you could look at Psalm 8, and find this written in Psalm 8. And so we see that he is doing this for a purpose. It's not just because that he wants a young donkey to ride in, but he's teaching us about the law. He's teaching us about humility. Folks, how many of us, if we were the king, if we were in Jesus' place and we knew who we were, we knew that we were God's son, how many of us would get on a donkey and come into the city of Paris? Not a soul. Not a soul. We might come into the city of Paris if it was a Rolls Royce with a convertible top, or something of that nature. But we're not coming into Paris on a donkey. It's not going to happen. We're not going to ride no donkey in the fish fry parade either. If you can't get me a good horse, I'm not going to ride in it. I'm not going to do anything like that because it would be embarrassing to me to come following those horses on a little old donkey. But folks, if you stop and you think the humility that Jesus is teaching us, I mean, I can't imagine that humility that he had. I can't imagine how he lived into it as much as he did. And I stop and I think about his preaching after he started his ministry. And I think about he didn't have anything, folks. He didn't have anything. He didn't have money unless somebody gave him some. He didn't have clothes unless somebody made him some. He didn't have bread to eat unless somebody gave it to him. And I thought about that a lot this week. And I was thinking, you know, he borrowed everything. He borrowed everything. He borrowed the boat. He didn't have a boat. That man didn't have a boat to get from one side of the sea to the other. He borrowed it. He borrowed a boat to teach out of. He borrowed the donkey. He's coming into this week. He's borrowed a room to have the Passover meal in, which we're going to talk about in a minute. He's borrowed a tomb to be placed upon, placed in. This man had nothing. And if you stop and you think about it, and you've ever rode any horses or you've ever been around any kind of livestock like that, when he borrowed the donkey, it says that they brought their cloaks, their coats, and their cloaks, and they took them off and they laid them on the donkey. Because it's easier to some people, not really to me, but to some people it's easier to ride a horse if it's got at least a saddle blanket on it. And maybe if you got a saddle, it's a whole lot easier. But if you don't, you put a blanket on it, and it makes it somewhat easier, maybe. I'd rather ride it without one. But it's nasty when you ride it without one because they sweat and they do all of the things. And they give him their own coat to lay on the donkey so he would have what I'd call a saddle blanket, a barred saddle blanket. He had nothing, folks. He had absolutely nothing. And so he comes into Jerusalem with this donkey. And as he comes into Jerusalem, we see that the crowd begins to shout and praise God, praise Jesus. And they were saying, praise God, Hosanna. Which Hosanna, they probably didn't even realize what they were saying. The meaning of Hosanna back in the beginning when they first started saying Hosanna was, God, please save us. But it had been reduced, I'd call it. It's the same thing we do today. We make our words whatever we want them to be, and we use them. And all they knew they were doing was probably praising Jesus. They didn't realize that they were saying, Jesus, save us. Jesus, please save us. But they were praising God. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in the highest heaven. And so we see that they are praising Jesus. And some of the people that are there are saying to him, just be quiet. Y'all don't need to be hollering and praising him. He's not the one that you need to be giving praise to. You need to come down to town and praise the ones that's over the temple and all the other people. He's not anybody. And Jesus says to them, if they don't praise me, these rocks that we're walking on will. They will rise up and praise me if they shut up. Because even the rocks knew who Jesus was. Folks, when you stop and you really think about this scripture, you think about this week, and you think about how Jesus is riding this donkey into town, and the people are laying their coats down, palm branches down in front of him. They know that he is Jesus. They know who he is. There's some there that don't know who he is. There's some there that don't care who he is. And basically, that's the whole crowd after they get there. And you stop and you think, you know, why was the palm branches and the things that they're laying down, what kind of significance did that have? That they would be bringing palm branches and laying down in front of him. Well, there's two or three things that you could talk about. We got communion, so we're not going to get into all of that, but I do want to read you a scripture. John had been with Jesus. He was the disciple. He had been with Jesus, and he was with him, and he was exiled on the island, and he wrote Revelation. And what does he tell us in the 7th chapter of Revelation? Let's see right here. It says, I'm going to start with the 9th verse, 7th chapter. It says, after this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. You see, this is Jesus. This is what they're doing today. They're standing in front of him as he's coming into Jerusalem. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And so see, we were seeing, John was seeing while he was on the island and writing the book of Revelation, he was seeing the same thing that Jesus had seen when he come into Jerusalem. They were waving palm branches. They were laying them on the road. Even in the book of Revelation, we see they're gathered around the throne. And they have their palm branches, and they're waving them, giving praise to God, the same thing that the people were doing in this scripture of the 11th chapter of Mark. They were praising God. And that's what we will be doing, folks, when we get to heaven. We will be praising God and giving him praise and thanks for his son Jesus, and giving Jesus the praise that he deserves. He come into the town, he went into the temple, and it says, after looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon, and he returned to Bethany with his 12 disciples. We know that later in the week, they arrest Jesus. We know that he goes back to the temple to cleanse the temple in the morning. We know that there's things that he has done to proclaim that he is God's son and he is the king. We know that he has provided salvation for us. He's fixing to die upon the cross. We know that he is as much that is happening this week, he is bringing joy to all the people today as they see Jesus, because they were looking for him. John tells us that. They were looking for him. And I think that as they looked for Jesus, they were wondering, why is he not here to celebrate? Why is he not here for the Passover meal? Will he miss this Passover meal? No, he won't miss the Passover meal. He will borrow a room. We know that story. And I would dare say that he probably borrowed the bread and the wine that will be present at the Passover meal. I don't think that they would have had any way to provide it for themselves unless Mary or Martha or Lazarus home. They had went back outside of town that night on Sunday night to stay at Bethany, which was probably the home. Don't know, just guessing. A home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They could have brought the bread and wine with them, but they borrowed a room. And as they borrowed this room, this guy, can you imagine the disciples coming and saying, Mike, I'm going to borrow your upstairs room so that the disciples can meet there tonight. They're going to have their Passover meal, and Jesus has asked if we can meet in your room. Mercy. I just soon, really, that he'd find somewhere else to have this Passover meal, because he's going to be drawing a lot of attention to me. And I know when all of this is done and said for, they're going to be coming back looking at me. And I'd really rather not have all of these people, these religious leaders and all of the officers at my doorstep every day wanting to know what I had to do with Jesus. You ever think about that? Folks, how would we respond had we been there that week? You have to ask yourself for every day, how would you have responded had you been there? Well, they allowed Jesus to come and have the meal. And I'm going to ask Brian to come and help me as we prepare to do the communion service. And we know that as they gathered in the room upstairs, and they gathered to have their Passover meal, Jesus had told them three times, folks, that he would be dying. He had told them that he would be dying, that on the third day he would rise from the dead. But they, like I said earlier, they didn't get it. And so now they're gathered in this room, and they're going to break bread together. And Jesus is going to tell them that this is his body and this is his blood. And let us pray. Father, we come, we thank you, we praise you so much for your son Jesus. We praise you so much, Father, for how this situation came and how it played out, and what a hard story it is to tell and to think about. But we know that it came just for us. This story is for us. It's for our salvation. So, Father, today as we come and we take this bread at the beginning of the Holy Week, Lord, we pray that you will make it Jesus' body and the wine, Jesus' blood. We thank you for the new covenant between you and your people. And we just give you praise, Father, for each and everything. It's in Jesus' name we pray.